down. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And here we are, Friday, ready to go. And look at the time. 8 o'clock, straight up.
April 15th.
No, I was thinking that we started on time.
We started on time.
We started on time today.
See that? And you said it couldn't be done.
We deserve some kind of treat for that, I'm sure.
Positive reinforcement.
That's right.
To make sure we do it again next week.
That's right. Okay. So here we are. We are right and ready to go. We have a lot to talk about today. And I'm really excited to talk about this stuff today. You may tell you why?
I do.
Over the past couple weeks, I don't know if you've noticed this, but over the past couple weeks, I've been getting up and working on the blog. I've been writing a blog post almost every day. Have you noticed that? I don't know if you...
I lament that you're doing that, but yes.
Well, I don't.
I know.
Lemon that I do that at all. What'd you say? Lament? He likes using words like that. But I've been doing that, and I got up this morning, and I was working on my blog post.
What prompted you to do today's blog?
Something.
Thoughts about?
An experience with some students recently. Because, you know, it's testing time in the schools, in the public schools, and, you know.
That's right, test season.
Right, and so it's just leading me to a lot of thoughts about, you know, what in the world are we doing? You know, and so today's...
Well, I think about that now. The reason I ask you the question is because for university folks, students and teachers, it is almost the end of the semester.
Right.
Okay, the end of April will be universities will start to close down for the semester, which means all the final projects are due, all the final exams are due. So between the last week of April and the first week of May, most universities around the country are going to be ending the spring semester, which is time for finals, time for projects, time for grades.
Right.
Okay, giving
right.
grades. And what does all this mean? You
know, right.
And you sort of take stock as a university professor, you sort of take stock and say, how did I do? You know, what are my grades going to be? How did this student do? How did that student do? So it's time for that kind of reflection.
Right. And so the idea behind this is, you know, I started thinking about, you know, I've written before and we've talked before about, you know, how are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching
right.
our kids?
Right.
What, you know, are we raising our kids in such a way that they're going to become adults who are self-sufficient, are able to do the things that they need to do to be successful, however they might define success? And what does that mean? So I couldn't help but think, and this of course leads to the title of today's podcast, that we're doing our kids a lot of disservice, that we're doing students in general, a lot of disservice by the way that we are placing expectations upon them, and not that we are placing expectations on them, but the way in which we are placing those expectations.
And the expectations that we are placing on them.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. The question as to whether or not the expectations we're placing on them are correct or not.
Yeah. And we've talked about things like moving the curriculum down, that kindergarten is the new first grade and all that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Those kind of things that, you know, what are the expectations and what are they leading to?
Right. Mm-hmm. So just a quick backstory. You know, when we look at what we expect from kids today, you know, let's think specifically about grades. All right, when you meet with a patient, you meet with the patient's parents, what grades are acceptable? Primarily, the first response is, well, A's. A's are what's acceptable. You know, a child sometimes B's. You know, they'll say A's, maybe B's, but most parents, many parents, unfortunately, say, well, no, C's are not acceptable.
And C is considered inadequate.
Inadequate.
Right.
Right. And
not
consistently.
Average. It used to be average.
Right. Consistently, they say, oh, no, he can do better than a C. You know, they keep saying this. And what I find, and I think that perhaps this is some of our statistics background, what I find fascinating about that perspective is that we're not really thinking about what grades reflect, what grades mean, because the vast majority of parents that we meet with, many, many parents believe that an A or B is typical.
All that is acceptable.
That's all that's acceptable. And I find that fascinating, because I think that that results in some of the problems that we see and that adults, that we as adults complain about, especially when it comes to youth and to juveniles and to even to early college students. I think that this perspective fuels a lot of the complaints and a lot of the issues and a lot of the problems that we see later on in the child's life. You follow me?
Well, you wrote that article. One of the columns that was recently posted was about expectation, or will be.
Right.
About expectations.
Right.
You know, that kids, maybe it's not that they're misbehaving, maybe it's a problem of entitlement.
Right.
You know, and you mentioned
right.
that.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Right. The problem is entitlement. It's not really bad behavior as much as what we're struggling with as adults is this sense of entitlement that so many kids have.
Right. You know, we, in the past, you know, in the past, it was, and we've talked about this before on this podcast and also on the Paideia podcast, but in the past, the expectation was to graduate high school. And, you know, there were a select few who went to college, and those people who went to college sort of had definite, you know, sort of identified career paths. They knew what they wanted to study, and sort of they sort of knew where they wanted to go with their degree to for work and for a career.
Yeah, they were going to college to become something.
For a career, right. They were career-minded.
Mm-hmm. They weren't, you didn't have the money. Well, you're talking about like two generations ago, like prior to World War II?
No, like I'm even thinking
even
about
even
more recent than that. You know, in the 70s and 80s,
right.
You know, the idea was you go to college to get an education, to go into a career.
Well, in the area where I grew up, we had steel mills.
Uh-huh.
And so you always had a choice. You could either work in the steel mill
right.
and make a good living.
Right.
I mean, my uncles lived a very comfortable middle-class existence. They had homes and cars and mm-hmm. took vacations. So you could either work in the steel mill
mm-hmm.
or you could go to college.
Right.
About the same, you know, what you wanted to do. What
right.
kind of, you know, you made about the same amount of money
right.
Unless you, you know, went into a medical career or something. But typically, you really did have a choice.
Right. And your particular skill set would inform that and that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But today, it seems as though the college is the expectation.
Yeah, you go to college.
You're
finish high school,
right.
and then you go to college.
High school is like, or no, I'm sorry, college is like high school step two.
Used to be high. It's like, yeah, that's right.
And
second part of high school.
Right. Mm-hmm. We even when I was graduating high school in the early 90s, we referred to, you know, if you went to the local community college, mm-hmm. we just called that 13th grade.
Yeah, right.
You know, because that's just what you do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the issue is that when that becomes the expectation, I believe that it shifts.
Oh, yes.
Education, it shifts our views as parents, it shifts and changes what our students value and what their goals and missions and their perspectives are. Mm-hmm. All of that shifts based upon these basic expectations.
If college is seen as an extension of your K-12 education,
right.
then the college, is it the expectation or what you want it to do? How you approach that 13th grade changes.
Right. Well, let's take, for example, a very typical presentation we'll see here in the office where you have a high school junior
mm-hmm.
who, by all accounts, hates school. And so you say, well, what are you going to do after high school? Well, I'm going to go to college.
Right, that's right. Oh, well, I see it all the time.
Why are you going to go to... You hate school. You don't do your homework. You hate it. Why are you going to go to college?
That's right.
Why do you say that you're going to go to college?
We see it all the time. We have students come in who are not doing their homework. They're not doing their schoolwork. They have C's and D's and they're failing some classes. And you ask them quite innocently, well, what are your plans after high school? Well, I'm going to go to college.
Right.
You're not doing the work in school.
You're not doing everything now with your parents over you, pushing
right.
you and having the expectations. but yet you're going to go to college where there's no one over you. It all lies in your lap.
Yeah. And at first I used to think, what are you thinking? And then I realized that their concept of college has changed.
Right.
I mean, the way students think about college today is simply different than the way we thought about it.
Right.
You know, when you say to them, if you have the average eighth grader, seventh grader, say, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to eighth grade. Then I'm going to go to ninth grade. Then I'm going to go to 10th grade.
Right.
Well, then I'm going to go to college. Then I'm going to go to grade 13. I mean, after this, then I'm going to go on to the next grade, which in their mind is college.
Right.
And so the concept, the whole concept, the whole idea of college has shifted over the past generation.
Right. And so what that does, I think, what that has done is that has adjusted the expectations that colleges have, because it, you know, going to your local state college is different than trying to go to like a four-year university or something like that. So whereas, you know, 20, 25 years ago, the expectation was that you had a 3.5 or so, 3.0, 3.5 GPA for college admission. Now, you know, I think that the last I heard, the average GPA for admission into something like the University of Florida and some of these other colleges is close to, if not at, a 4.0.
Oh, yeah. You have to have over... If you want to go to Florida, you have to have over a 4.0.
Right.
That's to be in excess of a 4.0.
And so what that does is that, again, all of these factors shift our expectations on the kids. And so it gets us back to the issue that is, no longer is it that you're going to school to learn and to understand. You're going to school to get the right answer so that you'll make an A. The expectation is an A, because if you don't get an A, and parents will start following this line of thought, even when a kid, like you said, is in eighth grade or so, well, if he doesn't get an A, he's not going to have a 4.0. And if he doesn't have a 4.0, he's not going to get into this college or this university, or he's not going to have these opportunities. And so it's not the goal of learning. It's not the goal of understanding. It's the goal of, I have to make an A. And I think that this, to me, this is where the disservice is coming from. This is where it begins. Because when we have that expectation, when we tell our kids and teach our kids that the only acceptable score is the highest score that you can get, an A, that sets our kids up to fail. You know, what is average? So, you know, you mentioned earlier that we're both university professors. So, you know, how do we arrange grades? Well, we have A's, B's, C's, D's, and F's. A's are excellent, well above average, superior, mm-hmm. right? B's are above average.
Mm-hmm.
C's are average.
Mm-hmm. If you do the work as requested, you get a C.
Right. C is average. D is below average, and then, of course, F is failing. Now, from a purely statistical standpoint, most students should get a C. Now,
well, but that's if you think of grades as being on a normal curve.
Right.
This bell-shaped curve that we talk about, that most students will fall somewhere in the middle.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And if we think about overall, you know, students overall within the school, that's the way that it should fall.
And that's the way it used to fall.
Right.
What years ago, it was very, very unusual. I mean, as long as your grade point average was somewhere in the range of 2.8 to 3.4.
Yeah.
Anything over 3.0 was fine. That was good.
Right.
You were succeeding because that was a B average. Okay.
Right.
So as a college student, you were getting... If you started to dip into that C range, you were struggling. Okay?
Right.
There was something going on. Either you couldn't do it, or you didn't have the time, or you weren't putting forth enough effort. But it was okay as long as you were somewhere in that 3.2, 3.3.
Right.
When you got up to 3.4, 5, and 6,
right.
those were the exceptional students. Those were students who were getting mostly A's.
Right.
And a few B's thrown in. But as long as you were in that between 3 and 4,
right.
you were doing fine. Today, that's considered problematic.
Right. Well, and I've shared this story before, but when I was in graduate school, when I got accepted to graduate school, I was already doing some research in a medical school in a department of psychiatry when I was accepted into the psychology department or the school psychology program. And I was already doing some research. I arranged it so that while I was taking classes, I could continue to do my research, and I actually built into it my thesis, and so I was writing my thesis proposal and everything from the first semester and so on. At the end of the first academic year, there was a professor in our program who, if I say it as bluntly as I took it at the time, she wanted me to be on probation, if not sent out of the program.
Because
I made two B's.
Right.
Now.
But that's the mentality that has gradually crept into education at all levels.
Right.
From graduate school down to kindergarten.
Exactly. And it doesn't matter that, you know, full-time load in graduate school is 9 credit hours.
Right.
It doesn't matter that we were taking 20 credit hours our first semester. It didn't matter that, you know, I had two assistantships. It didn't matter that I was doing this research. It didn't matter that I was writing my thesis proposal. And it didn't matter that I had a wife and two kids at home. Mm-hmm. What mattered was that I made two B's.
Right.
And that was... That questioned my dedication to the program, is the way that it was presented
right.
to me.
That's right.
And I think that mentality is held by a lot of parents, and I think that it's very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because what it's doing to our kids, what it's doing to our students, what it's doing to our young adults, is that it is creating some unintended consequences. It's creating some consequences, some perspectives, some worldviews that are just very concerning.
I'm glad to hear you're moving in that direction, because we can't do it. This is called grade inflation.
Right.
Okay. We can't do anything about grade inflation.
Right.
It's just a fact of life that this is how it's going to be. You have to have over a 4.0. I mean, there are kids graduating from high school with grade point averages. Didn't you say the other day somebody had a 5 point something?
They were it was right close to a 5.0. Yeah, yeah. You know, on a 4.0 scale.
On a 4 point system, you have 5 point. I mean, it's just gotten a little bit crazy. But we can't do anything about what has happened. But you're right, it has changed a worldview. It's changed our perspective about what education is about.
Right.
What is the goal of education? You know, there's a new bill, this what replaced 94-1 for No Child Left Behind, and the goal is all children college ready.
Right.
Okay. That's kind of that reflects the mentality. Is that, in other words, you're going to graduate from high school career or college ready? Well, in the first place, not all students can go to college.
Right.
Okay. And so, number one is you have this group of students who are going to go to college, who maybe shouldn't
mm-hmm.
because they're not suited or they're not able. But they're going to go anyway. And what happens is when they get to college, they don't pass the courses.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to take remedial courses before they go to college.
Right.
High schools are being blamed for not being able to prepare them. It's not their fault. It's that those kids typically didn't go to college before.
Right.
Now they are, and they need remedial classes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's kind of go through. I know that you always have an issue when I have three. My rule of three. So I have five this time.
Now,
does that work?
I have to confess, there was a time when I always had two. No matter what, I always had two. So when I hear you say three, I think, well, your three is my two. Three is the new two.
So
we're up to five?
So five is the new three.
Okay, so we're becoming more expansive in our old age.
Well, okay. We just have to be a little more inclusive, I guess.
Okay.
All right, so but I think that there's five major, there's probably more, but there's five major consequences to this perspective, to this trend that we're having where the expectation is perfection, where the expectation is that the acceptable score is the highest score possible, and anything less than that is unacceptable.
It's seen as failure.
Right.
Right.
All right. So I think there's five. The first is, and as you mentioned a few minutes ago, and we've talked about previously, and that is the issue of entitlement. What this does is this puts pressure not only on the student, but it puts pressure on the teachers and it puts pressure on the parents mm-hmm. that the kids need to perform well. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine being that, you know, teachers, most teachers love their students. Right. They want their students to succeed. They want their students to progress and to do well. You know, imagine being that teacher who gave the student the C that lowered the GPA enough to where they didn't go to didn't make it into college.
That's what teachers are facing.
And teachers think that.
Right.
You know, I've talked to teachers many times before who have that perspective. And so what this mentality has done is it's created so much flexibility. You know, the state has issued statements about, you know, grade recovery programs and those kinds of things.
I forgot about
to that. Allow students who didn't perform as well as they should to be able to get higher grades, sometimes not with really very much work or effort to recover the grades.
And
it's just a process.
And the other problem with grade recovery is it puts all the pressure on the teacher.
Right.
You know,
right.
Now some teacher has to go clean up this that this kid has created.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what this does is this creates a sense of entitlement in the student, because what it says is it doesn't matter how you do, because we're going to do something to fix it anyways. You know, in showing up for many students gets them the A. They don't have to do a lot of work. They don't have to put in much effort to get an A, sometimes a B. But for some students, a B is fine too.
Right.
But as soon as you get down to a C, it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I came to class every day.
Mm-hmm.
I always had my book. Now, that's where it stops. It doesn't say I did my homework. It doesn't say I did well on the test or anything like that. But it says, you know, that's what students say. And students tend to expect that, because that's what we're starting to teach them, is that, you know, the participation trophy,
mm-hmm.
the just showing up and you will get rewarded,
mm-hmm.
That is the mentality that we're giving some of our students with this policy, this perspective.
Right. That's what bothers me most about this this drive to get an A, is that once you establish A as the standard,
right,
you know, this is what you should get.
Right.
Okay. When I was in school, you should get a B.
Right.
Okay. Now you should get an A. So, and what has evolved over time, and it's happened at every level of education, and I'm particularly disheartened that this has happened in colleges and universities, is that if you have to get an A, then you have to be shown the path to an A.
Right.
Okay. In other words, this is what's expected. This is how you get there.
Right.
Okay. And if you do these things, you will get an A.
Right.
That's not how it's...
Right.
That's one way of educating people. I'm not sure it's the best way of educating people.
Right. Right. It's the perspective of just tell me the answer.
That's right.
And this gets to number two. Mm-hmm. And that is, we're not teaching people how to learn anymore.
How to learn or how to think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're not teaching students how to read a text, mm-hmm. take the information from it, and apply that information in some way.
Yep.
We're not teaching them the value of learning. We're teaching them this is the right answer.
Right.
And so when you see this question, just give that answer and you'll be fine.
That's right. And that's the way we teach writing. It's the way we teach math.
Right.
It's the way we teach everything today, is that this is how you get an A. This is the right answer. This is how you get there.
Right.
And if you follow these steps, you will get the right answer and you will get an A.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that, and it's not just education that we do that in. We do that in lots of other things. We do it in sports and in other
just,
extracurriculars and things like that.
Just come to the game, put your uniform on,
right.
Come to the game, and you will get some kind of a reward.
There are rubrics for grading art. There are rubrics for grading other creative things. And it's just, we're not teaching students how to... We're just not teaching them how to learn. We're not teaching them how to acquire new information, and we're kind of squelching the hunger, the thirst for learning.
You know, it's ironic to me that when you go to a university, you hear all about service learning, project-based learning.
Right.
Okay, on the one hand, everybody's encouraging project-based learn how,
right.
Learn how to do it. But on the other hand, we're told we have to use rubrics. Right. And those are two different, those are opposites of each other.
Right.
Because on the one hand, you're saying, here, go out and solve this problem. Go out and do the research to solve this problem.
Right.
But if you do this, this, and this, you get an A. If
right.
you do this, this, and this, you get a B. So which one do you want? Do you want me to follow this recipe to get an A? Or do you want me to go out and creatively solve this problem? Because those are two different things.
Right. And if depending on the student's motivation, they're just going to do what they need to do to get an A.
That's right. That's right.
Why would I do all of that other stuff if this is all I have to do to get an A?
If I only have to read these things to get an A,
right?
That's all I'm going to read.
Right. That's it.
That's the way we're built.
That's it. And so, you know, when a teacher gives a test and says, you know, here are the things that you need to understand.
Right.
The teacher, many times the student, well, what questions are you going to ask?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what are the answers to those questions? And they just don't appreciate the learning process anymore. It's now it's just rote and just give me the answer.
And the other thing, the other mentality that they bring in is that they never want to make a mistake.
Right.
Okay. That I'm there's this terror, the absolute terror that they might make a mistake.
Right.
Okay. And yet we say, we pay lip service to, will you learn from your mistakes?
Right.
Not anymore.
No.
There's an absolute terror. They want to know, what should this assignment look like? What do I have to do? Tell me exactly what I have to do because I don't want to make a mistake. They're not saying, tell me what I have to do because I want to learn this. They're saying, tell me what I have to do so that I don't make a mistake.
Right.
Don't. We shouldn't be afraid of making mistakes. They are part of the learning process.
All the time.
No matter what we do.
You know, and absolutely. I completely agree. Because I think that, you know, that fear of failure, that fear of any negativity.
That's right.
Is damaging.
Because once the goal becomes an A, there is no room for error.
Right.
A means consistently excellent.
Right.
So there's no room for error, which means there isn't a lot of room for learning.
Right.
If you're not allowed to make a mistake, if you can't make a mistake, where does the learning process? How do you learn?
Right. Because an A means you've already mastered it.
That means you already know it.
Well, if you already know everything,
let's go on to the next thing.
Right.
No.
We need to push those boundaries a little bit.
That's right.
Because, all right. Now, so
that's number one.
That's number one was entitlement. Number two was we're not teaching them how to learn anymore. The third one is that we're not teaching them how to think anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the learning is one thing, but integrating what you're learning into what you already know and then creating new ideas,
right?
That is foreign to most students, even college students. That's a foreign concept to most students because, again, kind of going along with what we've already said, it should just be that if I follow A to B, B to C, and C to D, that I'll get a perfect score.
Okay, that's right. Connect the dots.
But instead, what you need to do is you need to take some of A, some of R, some of F, put those together and come up with something new.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with a new understanding, a new idea, a new perspective.
Right.
And we're not offering students the opportunity to do that when the expectation is you got to get an A.
Because now we're not asking students to think, we're asking teachers to do all the thinking.
Right.
Okay. Now the obligation is on the teacher, not on the student.
Right.
The students have the expectation of you tell me exactly what I need to do. And that's why syllabi are becoming 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 page documents.
Right.
Because the teacher is saying, here's a small book that tells you what you have to do. This is what you have to read.
And if you follow this recipe.
That's right. This is what you have to read. This is what you have to get out of it. This is the assignment. This is the way you do the assignment. It's at this level. This is exactly what I want. If you follow this thing completely, you'll get an A.
Right.
Okay. That means the teacher is doing all the work.
The teacher has now done everything.
That's right. All you have to do is follow this recipe.
Right.
And you'll get an A. And it shifts the responsibility from the student to the teacher.
Right.
Right.
Right. And as we do that from elementary school through middle school through high school,
right,
what we end up with are groups of adults, mm-hmm, and college students who just don't know how to think.
No, they will follow directions, but you have to tell them exactly what to do. And they come out of school, whether it's high school, college, or graduate school, they come out of school knowing how to do things, but not really knowing how to solve problems. We see it in medicine.
Right.
We see it everywhere, because I can read the lab values, not sure what they mean,
right,
but I know that it's abnormal.
Right.
Well, that's not enough. It's not enough to know it's abnormal.
And again, kind of going back to the theme, I think it's a tremendous disservice to people, to kids that are growing up, to young adults who are trying to make their way, trying to figure out where they're going and who they are, for us to impose or utilize a measuring stick that removes the need to think, the need to learn, right, the need to realize that, you know what, you're not going to make it sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be too hard and you're going to have to work extra to make it.
You know, one of the great ironies today is that we always hear, well, the information that you're learning in school today will be obsolete by the time you graduate.
Right.
And yet, what are we pushing? Get the right answer.
Right.
Why? It's going to be obsolete in 5 years.
Right.
But that's what we're making everybody do.
Exactly. Exactly. So you know, we have to shift that perspective, because as we are, as we hold on to those perspectives and those, you know, we push onto the kids that, you know, to succeed is an A.
Right.
And that's the only thing that's acceptable, because success is the only option. Then we're really closing a lot of doors.
And you have parents who say, well, if they're going to get A's, they have to get A's early on.
Right.
They have to build that culture of A's. So I have to get A's in elementary school, I have to get A's in middle school, I have to get A's in high school. You know, nobody looks at middle school grades.
Right.
But yet parents are
vigilant.
They lose the because my child's getting a B in seventh grade.
Right.
It doesn't matter. No one's ever going to know that your child got a B in seventh grade. But there is this obsession with, I have to get all A's. And if I don't, I'm somehow failing or falling short.
Exactly.
Terrible burden to put on kids.
So, quick summary. The first one was the sense of entitlement that we're teaching kids and giving them. The second is that we're not teaching them how to learn. The third is that we're not teaching them how to think. The fourth thing is that this perspective tends to marginalize other career paths. It marginalizes other success options that kids could otherwise explore. When we hold the value that, well, you know, what you're supposed to do is go to college. What you're supposed to do is make all A's here and then go to college and make all A's there. When that's the perspective, it begins to marginalize and decrease the value of some other really important skills.
My blood runs cold when I hear politicians say college for everyone.
Right.
It's not college for everyone. It's just an extension of high school for everyone.
Right, you know, right. We need, there is a need for welders, for electricians, for plumbers. And you don't have to get a bachelor's degree to do any of those things.
Right.
You know, we need auto mechanics. We need people who can work on those things. And I know a lot of teenagers who are great at that stuff.
Right.
They have skills because of experience, because of just exposure. They have an ability to work on things that I don't know how to work on. But yet, they're not good at school, they don't enjoy school.
Right.
But yet, again, you ask them, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to college.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. Why not take those skills that you have and turn them into a profession, a career that you can be successful at and enjoy?
That's right. Because schools, you know, we talk about this all the time, schools as sorting machines, you sort kids out. And the sad thing that's happening today is that the students who are getting these very high grades, they're considered successful.
Right.
And the students who aren't are somehow considered failures.
Right.
They're not failures. You're not a failure if you're getting B's and C's. You're actually choosing a different career path. You're saying, I'm one of the 40 or 50% who's decided not to go to college.
Right.
That doesn't mean you're a failure.
Right.
But that's how schools view it.
Right.
Because they rank kids and say, well, you graduated 35th in your class. Well, that's not a failure. That's a career choice.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But that's seen as a failure because everybody, the winners are the A and low A students. You know, they're not even B students.
Right. Yeah, they can't even be B students.
Right.
So
we do see it as a failure.
Right.
You're the successful one, so you get to go to college. You're the failure, so you have to go into the trades.
Yeah.
I'm not sure going into the trades is a failure.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody else the other day about some of these issues, and you know, and he said, had I known that I could be a welder and make $70,000 a year, I don't think I would have spent 6 years in college to get a master's degree to do some of this work.
You know, what if somebody wants to be a chef?
Right.
Is there something wrong? Are you a failure if you're a chef instead of a teacher, or a chef instead of, I don't think so.
Right.
I mean, a chef is valued, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so why, or you want to be an X-ray technician. There's nothing wrong with being an X-ray technician. So you haven't failed at anything.
Right.
You're succeeding at your career. But yet we somehow there's this mentality where you didn't get all A's, so you're a failure. You're second class, you're second place. It's not a failure.
Right. Yeah. And again, I don't think it's anything that teachers or parents are teaching directly.
Right.
But it is certainly a message that is being received.
It's the inherent message in you have to get A's. The inherent message is, because the other side of that is, if you don't get A's, you're somehow falling short.
Right.
And so now, you know, we shouldn't all be getting A's,
right.
Number one. But if you don't, it doesn't mean you're a failure.
Right.
But that's what it's come to represent.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we need to, and we've talked about this on the other podcast, the Paydia podcast as well. You know, we need other options for students.
Right.
And we need to help them understand that those other options are pretty good options for most students, for many students. They're really good options.
That's right. But again, as we've always said, we're not nurturing all those other students who are not these high achieving all the students who could be college bound should be college bound
and okay? Will be. We don't have to do anything. They will be.
We need to. What about these other students who choose not to? When we talk about college or career ready, we're doing okay with college ready. We're not doing well with some of the college ready. We're not doing okay with career ready.
Right. Right. So again, definitely we're trivializing really important opportunities and options for a lot of these kids by, and again, this is, I think this is a disservice, so.
But, you know, it's true. What you're saying is true. We're both parents. And so if you talk to people, you say, well, what is she doing after graduation? Well, if she goes to college, then it's like everything is okay.
Yeah.
If she doesn't, then, well, where did you fail as a parent?
Right.
You know, why isn't she... Even though your child may be going to college, taking two or three courses a semester, not knowing what she wants to major in, not knowing what she wants to do when she gets out, that's somehow considered okay.
Yeah.
But if she doesn't go to college, it's somehow considered, like you fell short as a parent.
Right.
You didn't prepare your child for college and you somehow failed. That's how we're being made to feel today.
Yeah.
And it's not a failure.
I think it's interesting because when you mention it that way, because my daughter is going to graduate high school this year.
Right.
And she's been dual enrollment since 10th grade. She has 1, 2, 4. She's got about 20 or so credit hours, mm-hmm. 20, 25 college credit hours. And she'll graduate this year. And she's not sure what she wants to do.
And if she doesn't go to college, people are going to look at you and your wife and say, God, you guys failed this girl.
Right. And she's got friends whose parents are like, pushing their kids and pushing their kids. And my daughter will be talking to her friends and, you know, they'll talk about the stress that their parents are putting them under. And she says, well, what do your parents say? And she says, well, they said I can do what I want to do,
you
know,
right.
That I can get it, you know, I can start working or I can go to college, whichever I want to do. And these other kids are like dumbfounded.
Right.
Like, what kind of, what world does your parents come from?
That's right. Because it's so bizarre that
right.
you would say, it's up to you.
Right.
I mean, my oldest son said that. He said, I'm not sure that I want to go to college. I mean, both of his parents have doctorate degrees, but he said, I'm not sure that I want to go to college. And I said, it's perfectly okay. You don't have to. He ended up going, but he didn't have to go. My ego wasn't involved in that decision.
Right. Yeah, we live in a much more dynamic world than we used to. And there, you know, you can go to college later. You can. There's so many opportunities outside of college that are available to people. It's just we got to sort of break from that narrow mentality. So,
right.
All right, so there's four. The fifth thing, the fifth and final thing, is oftentimes, and you kind of alluded to this earlier, oftentimes going to college is that proverbial road to nowhere.
Right.
You know,
right.
How many students do we know? And what blows my mind is that this is the thing that a lot of politicians throw out there. This is a lot of things that that people talk about as a criticism for particular majors and things like that. Well, you know, people who major in that discipline, you know, they end up working outside of their field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are only so many jobs in any particular field.
Right.
You know, if you have 100,000 people majoring with a bachelor's degree in psychology in the state of Florida,
right.
The vast majority, 99% probably, of right. those students will not work as a psychologist.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's just a simple fact.
Right.
Because there's not that many graduate programs. There's not that much of a need
mm-hmm.
for psychologists. Mm-hmm. Not at that type of number. So what we're doing when we're telling students, no, the expectation is you're going to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do any of these other things. You need to go to college and get a degree in
right.
something. What do they know about what degree they're going to get That's or right. what degree they should get? They
right.
don't know.
Mm-mm.
You know, we talk to college freshmen, high school seniors, and the thing we have, well, what are you going to major in college? I don't know. Well, for some students, that's perfectly fine, because what will happen is they'll get into their four-year university
right.
and they'll take their gen ed courses and they'll start experiencing different things. They'll be like, oh, wow, this is a field that I really enjoy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Others won't.
Right.
You know, they'll settle. And how many times have we heard that? Oh, I just got a liberal arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just got a psychology is almost a liberal arts degree.
Right.
In some places.
That's right, because in most schools, I mean, most parents know this, the first 2 years, general education.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have a certain grade point average to get into the college, the program that you want to be in.
Right, for okay? a particular bachelor's,
and
right.
some are 3.5, and some are 3.0, and some are 2.5. So many students select their major based on what their grade point average is.
Right.
If you have a low grade point average, you have fewer choices.
Right.
So you select what's available.
Right.
Right. And a lot of those kids just get a degree.
You know, right.
They earn a college degree.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you, again, the situation is pretty obvious when you sit back and think mm-hmm. about it, though for whatever reason we seem to feel as though it's a mystery. You know, when students are going to college because it's the expectation, not because they have goals mm-hmm. and because they want to follow a particular path or they want to study something in particular, to say that a lot of those students are going to end up graduating with a degree that they end up not, that they don't use.
They don't use, right.
Why do we act like that's surprising?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, meanwhile, we're going to, get on the political stage and talk about, well, we got to do something about student loans.
Right.
Well, for the love of goodness, I almost said for the love of God, why does that student have to have those
That's
student
right.
loans to begin
right.
with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start out $50,000 in
yeah.
debt, you know.
And again, for a major that they didn't need, yeah. probably yeah. going into a job that they could have
right.
had when they graduated high school.
That's right. And it's one thing if you're doing it at a graduate level because
right.
you have a reasonable chance of moving up in a profession. So you take out loans hoping that you get a better job and make more money and you can pay the loans off.
Right.
But at an undergraduate level, that there's no guarantee.
Right.
You know, you could borrow all this money and end up with a degree that you can't use.
Yeah.
You know, then you're stuck with debt with no way to pay it.
I met a student the other day, a senior in high school, who's going to go to a university. And that four-year degree
mm-hmm.
is going to cost almost right at $250,000.
Yeah, $40,000 a year.
No, $60,000 a year.
60?
And it's 4 years.
For 4 years,
so
right.
$240,000.
Right.
If she gets loans, she gets loans. Or if she gets scholarships, she'll get scholarships. But otherwise, it's just going to be student loans. Because the family doesn't have the money to pay for it. So you're going to have a student, 21, 22 years old, potentially $240,000 in debt with a bachelor's degree in something that may or may not lead to a career that's going to generate a good salary.
You can't pay that off in a lifetime.
It's unfathomable. I don't understand why we, you know, I always have to be careful when I say these kind of things. Education is very important. Education is valuable, but more valuable than education is learning. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't have to go to school to learn.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
Just the
today
reality.
You don't. Right.
But to put a ticket price on an education, mm-hmm. that and to put a value on education to a level that makes it the marker or the measuring stick for most students, mm-hmm. many of whom have no reason to be measured by that stick. I think it's, I don't want to say criminal, but it is. I'm going to keep going back to disservice. It's doing something to our kids that is just ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's just unbelievable.
Most 18 or 19 year olds don't realize how long it's going to take to pay that debt off. They don't understand interest rates. They don't understand.
Right.
This is the rest of your life. You're
right.
going to be paying this for the rest of your life. It's
right.
like having a mortgage from
right.
day one.
Right. You know, and a big mortgage.
A big mortgage. Bigger
yeah.
than your house. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this again, this mentality that we're feeding and encouraging in our kids, I just think is very dangerous.
Right.
I think it's a, you know, to use those common words that people use, it's a slippery slope, because it definitely runs the potential of putting kids in a position, putting students in a position where, you can see where they work mm-hmm. from the perspective that failure is not an option.
Right. Right.
You know, when we have our college and graduate students, mm-hmm. for failure is not an option, because yeah. if you fail, that means A, you're a failure as a person.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And B, that means that you're going to end up with all these student loans and you're not going to have a way to pay it.
With no way to pay them back.
Right.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so the costs are both emotional and financial.
Right. Right.
So
what was the fifth one again?
So the fifth one was the road to nowhere.
Oh.
That we have these degrees. We complain about students who go and get these college degrees and then don't work in the field, but,
right.
you know.
Yeah, two things happen. One is that, you know, our governor got on one day, I think he mentioned anthropology. We don't need anybody else with a degree in anthropology. Well, we don't need any more attorneys either. Mm-hmm. I mean, he didn't mention attorneys, but in fact, most attorneys are going to have trouble finding a place mm-hmm. to work, because we are producing more attorneys than we can. We are
right.
producing more pharmacists than we need, more attorneys than we need, and so it's happening in more and more fields. So
right.
so you know, students need to be very careful about what they're doing. They have to go into these careers with their eyes open, knowing that, and that's why you don't borrow all this money, because
right.
you may borrow $100,000 and there may not be a job for you
right.
when you get out. So be very careful. Those two things come together.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because, and the final thing we'll say is that, and I don't think this will be, I know how I think about it in my mind, but sometimes to put it into words is difficult. What we're doing is we're increasing the density of students at a particular measuring level.
Right.
So
that's right.
Whereas before, you know, the strongest students had GPAs between 3.0 and 4.0. All right. And
right.
that was the density of students, the number of students that fell within
their top tier students. It was very, very unusual for somebody to have all A's.
Right.
I mean, even a generation, highly unlikely that anybody could get an A in everything, because we have aptitudes. And so you're good in English, or you're good in history, or you're good in math, or you're good in science.
Right.
Very few people are good at everything.
Right.
And when you say, I want a 4.0, that means you're good at everything.
Right.
I'm
right.
sorry.
There's
just not many people who
right.
are good at everything. And so for somebody to have the expectation that you can get an A in everything,
right.
highly, highly unlikely. So
right.
so in the past, it was, you know, 3.5 to 4.0. That was the cream of the crop.
Right.
You know,
right.
because most of us who were successful were 3.0 to 3.5. 4, 3.4. That was considered really, really good.
Right, right.
But so the density now is at a different place.
Right, so now instead of 3.0 to 4.0 as being the density that colleges, that's the range that was dense enough for colleges to take the stronger students.
That was their applicant pool, right.
Now, the density is so much higher,
right.
For colleges can get enough students for their freshman enrollment quota between 4.0 and 4.5.
That's right.
You know, there's enough students because we have this obligation of making all A's that, you just have so many students doing that. And I think that what parents and teachers and educators don't understand is it devalues the A.
Well, it does because if you're imagine this, you're a high school teacher. And let's make it easy. You're in a college preparatory private high school.
Right.
Okay. They exist all over, every city in the country has them. You're a teacher there. You have a student who's not doing superior work.
Right.
And you'd like to give that student a B, but that student has all A's.
Right.
Are you going to be the one person
right.
who ruins, you're going to take criticism from everybody
because as a teacher you will know that because the student sure. will tell you that the parent will tell you that the administration will tell you that
that's right
they will say oh.
Are you sure you want to get because you are going to ruin her chances to have all A's
right
okay and so and but that I say it make it easy think of a private school think of a public school
yeah
because in the top 20 students in a public school you have exactly the same situation
right
The difference between the valedictorian and a salutatorian is measured in hundredths or
right.
thousands of a point.
Right.
So you may be the valedictorian because you have 4.506, and the salutatorian may have 4.505 or 3. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a hair's difference. Okay.
Right.
But you might be the person who selected
right.
the valedictorian rather than the salutatorian because you gave that person an A minus rather than an A.
Right.
Right. And that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the issue, this is where I fall short with these types of topics is that there's not a solution.
There isn't. No, it's crept into our culture. This whole thing about participation.
Right.
But rather than effort.
Right.
Or everybody gets an A, and once you do that, then you have to show everybody how to get an A. You have to make sure that they do.
Right.
You know.
So if there is some advice that we can give, what we would encourage you as parents, as teachers, whoever you may be listening, we would encourage you, at least in your microsphere, in your family, in your home, step back. And make sure that the expectations that you have and the expectations you place on the child are appropriate.
For that child.
For that kid.
Make sure they have the stamina. Make sure they have the temperament. Make
right.
sure they have the emotional stability.
Right. Make sure that they know what doors are available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, college isn't the only door.
Right.
You know, if you make a B, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as you're doing the best that you can do.
And you're learning. Right.
That's fine. And sometimes the best you can do is a B. The best you can do is a C.
And nobody should ever apologize for getting a B.
Right.
I mean, that's
above
not
average.
A fail. Still above average.
Right. Right. So while we can't, none of us are really in a position to change the system.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a position to do something about our kids.
Right.
Your child in your home, you can address that. You can make sure that he knows that, college is one possibility. But look at all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all of these other options that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I notice that you're really good
right.
at fixing the lawnmower. I know that you're really good at taking the computer apart and putting it back together. I know that you're really good at doing these things. So why don't, maybe it would be best for us to find a way for you to build those skills.
I was visiting my son recently and his car broke down, which it often does. And it's one of those cars that you have to keep tinkering with it to keep it running.
Right.
And we were at a place and this young man, probably in his 20s, was helping, the mechanic was helping us fix it, and we were working through this electrical problem, and I look at this engine, and to me it looks like spaghetti stew, you know, I don't even know what things do in a car. And he looked at it, and he said, well, it has to be this, 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 and he's pointing at all these things and naming them, and he said, oh, this is what, and he took this little device, took this little thing out, mm-hmm. and put another one in, and it worked just fine.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely dumbfounded watching him work through this problem. The kid was probably 23 or 24 years old.
Right.
Okay. I wouldn't have known where to begin. And I just was absolutely astonished at his ability.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it happens with plumbers, electricians, carpenters. I can't hang a door.
Right.
You know, I mean, there are people who have these marvelous skills that we don't we value when we need them.
Right.
But we don't value when we're preparing them.
Yeah, we value when we need it, but we don't value it enough to encourage our kids to do it.
Encouraged this kid, and they didn't. He was a failure in school. He said that. He told me that.
Yeah.
He said, I hated school. I wasn't good at it. I failed this and I failed that. But I'm just standing there dumbfounded watching him work on this engine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we value it when we need it. We don't value it to prepare them for it.
Right, right.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
So in your home, you can make a difference. With your child, you can make a difference. And that's... For right now, at least, that's the best that we can do.
Well, and I like your idea about perspective. Step back. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath. Step back. Because we have schools all over the country who push and push and push and push and push. And the kids are sleep deprived.
Right.
And they're anxious. I'm telling you, take it from us. All A's is not worth sleep deprivation.
Right.
That's a deal with the devil.
And it's not worth damaging your relationship with your kid. It's not worth...
The
time that you would lose with them, their self-esteem, it's not worth that.
Don't tie their ego to their grades.
Right.
There's more to their ego than their grades.
Right. All right. Well, so I hope that was a little helpful for some of you out there.
Enjoy talking about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something we ought to talk about.
Now I got to finish writing my blog post about it because that's what I started doing this morning. So, all right. So, announcements we have. The book is almost, it's so close. We're almost ready to release the first section of mm-hmm. the Raising an Emotionally Healthy Child handbook that we are revising. It will be available on Kindle. We'll hopefully be able to have a release date within the next week. We'll be mm-hmm. able to kind of post that and announce that here. We are also going to do a ADHD workshop sometime next month. We don't have a specific date identified yet, but we're going to do it up at Webster University with our friends there. And
we're
really
excited
looking forward
about
to that.
This is going to be an update. It's an important update.
Yeah.
We mentioned this before that there are lots of advances in medication, in assessment, in interventions that we want to bring people up to date on. And so we look forward to doing that. And it's also at Lakeside Village.
Yeah, it'll be at Lakeside Village here in Lakeland. So nice
convenient
location.
Nice night, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, there is the Udemy ADHD mm-hmm. course, the Parenting Your ADHD Child Udemy course. I'm still working away at that. Hopefully we'll have that done pretty soon. And that'll be available to everybody mm-hmm. so that you can...
get on and take a look at that.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
All right. We got some...
Friday.
We're going to start doing some YouTube videos also. But so yes, today's tax day. So enjoy that.
Yeah.
So I think that's everything. Is that everything? That's everything.
I think so. Of course, the book.
Yeah.
The workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. So... That's it. All right. So until next week, I'm Dr. Bernie.
I'm Dr. Richard.
Have a great week and forget to be afraid.